June 1, please. And just for the record, Councillor Inglis was not present for the public hearing, is not eligible to vote.
As a result of the public hearing this morning, I have two recommendations. 13.1, I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt a bylaw respecting rezoning of properties identified as PID number 702-68016 and 700-21712 and located at 205 Waterloo Street in Liverpool from restricted residential R1 to multiple unit residential R3.
Seconded by Councillor Frelick. Discussion?
Great.
I didn't think we... Yes, Councillor
Frelick. I just want to state one thing. You had mentioned this morning it was a retirement home. It is not a retirement home. It's a senior-friendly but open to everybody. So
yeah, I meant residential. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. Yes, Councillor
Inglis. Since I don't get to vote, I'll throw in a comment. My apologies, I have my time confused, and if you lost by one vote,
I
just like to make a comment. I did happen to read the opinion page in the Advent this week regarding an outlook for 2016 with the region, and they mentioned in their housing needs. And I know in the past, we've had some new housing developments that have been built by private developers, and I'm very pleased to have Mr. Roy make this submission to us for that development on Waterloo Street, and then certainly filling some of our housing needs in our community. And it's wonderful to have a private developer, a community-driven project in such as this, and I'm sure there may be more coming down the pipe.
Mike, I think it's straightforward. Do you want to comment on it?
No, I think it's fairly straightforward. I think the nature of the development that's being proposed and the scale, in my opinion, fits in well with the surrounding residential area, and it's contributing to the recognized need we have within our community for some residential housing, so it's a project.
I'm going to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
And 13.2, I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt a bylaw respecting the rezoning of a portion of property identified as PID number 700-76625 and located at 40 Milford Street in Milton from general residential R2 to neighborhood commercial C3.
So seconded by Councillor Fancy. Discussion? Councillor Waterman.
That used to be a commercial property. That was the old hats.
Yes.
Which then was under non-conforming use, but now that had changed. So that's why we go through this process.
I understand that the neighborhood is quite pleased with the application.
Mm-hmm. If I can just make a comment as well. I know we'll be dealing with transportation and those sorts of things in the upcoming agendas as well today. And this certainly is something that the community certainly would benefit from, not having to travel so far for their type of products that would be available through this type of storefront. So that's another really bonus for that area.
Okay, I'm going to take the question. Are you ready? All in favor? It's unanimous. Thanks. Okay, thank you, everybody. Now, 13, what's the next one?
Survey.
13.
Queen's Care.
Survey.
That's just the information report.
There's no motion. You've got the information. Does anybody have any questions? Any points they'd like to bring forward? Yes, Councillor McLeod.
Although we were not, we were just given this in our agenda package, I'd like to commend this group of this organization for taking the initiative to do a survey to poll our public to see what needs there are for transportation, and they've also tagged on the housing. I belong to the South Shore Housing Action Coalition Group as a council representative, and they currently will be going through a housing needs assessment. And certainly information from our own specific survey would certainly benefit what they want to acquire to get information about housing needs on the South Shore in general. And I do know that I had a chat with some of the members of this group, and I think what's really required when you do a survey is getting the results back and the information from those results to be tabulated, and then you want your answers to the questions asked on the survey. So I'm just asking council, or councilors in each one of their specific areas, if they would kind of take the initiative also to help disseminate this kind of survey and talk to their people and get the results back and try to make a little their own initiative in getting the information out to their public. I know they may be mailing this out or doing whatever way they can to get the results of the survey if it's approved to go out. But I think if we can help them along the way, and I certainly intend to do that with my district, so I'm just asking other counselors if they would consider to do the same.
Absolutely.
And I guess that was my question, is how is the, I see we may contribute $2,000 toward the cost of this, and it just simply says, as a draft, and this is draft, please give the completed survey to the person who initially gave it to you,
so
or return it to the VON using the envelope. So do they intend, $2,000 doesn't cover bulk bail, so what's the intention for Queens County?
So there'll be, we'll be pushing it out in a number of ways, working together with the Queens Care Society. We will be printing a number out and making them available at community facilities to pick up, drop off, and collect them there. It's also going to be available electronically, so it can be pushed out via email on our website or through social media. And so the more we can drive collecting them, the better the response and the answer will be.
I was just thinking of people in small rural areas like Port LaBear. They have no use to go to a post office. There's no community place. Chances are they're not connected to our Facebook site. You know, and we have lots of those small rural areas that are really valuable in senior transportation. I mean, those are the people we need to get. And other than door-to-door delivery of them.
We might do a weeklet like that. We don't have the budget to do a mass mail out on it, so we'll push it out and track our coverage to make sure we get it as complete as possible.
Councilor Frederick.
One thing that I talked to them last night, if people, Darlene, for example, has a large area to cover, they would also be interested in having maybe 5 or 6 key people that they could contact, and then they would help spread that out. So they're not expecting counselors to go out, unless you want to, hand deliver. They're just looking for some key people, from maybe one person from Port LaBear that could take that and be, because the whole key to success is getting it back. So they've gone to, I think, 7 or 8 service groups and are distributing it out. So they've done their homework and realized that the results are going to be getting them back. So that's what they're requesting, because I know Raymond's certainly not going to, it's a huge, huge area to cover, but if you knew of 5 people that they could contact, that's all they're really looking for. So
we should contact like 5 or someone in each one of the small communities to help?
Yep.
I mean, I don't mind someone would call and I could go help, but I'm not going to go door to door.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have.
And I'm on that board, so if you want to forward the names to me, then I can forward to them. It's easiest.
Like, for example, the pharmacy out there, I'm hoping we can send some there and leave that in our office, because I assume that that's well used and we'll get a good collection of people, so we'll help push it out.
But also maybe to help some of the seniors.
Yep.
Okay, yes, Councilor McLeod. I've had a request for a break, and I know that people are getting agitated because they're waiting for that break.
1 second. Just the follow-up of this project is very important.
Yes.
Okay. I'm now. Let's break for 10 minutes. And for the record, I'd like to comment on the shortage of washrooms in the building. probably it should come up under engineering and works, because when they were when the building was refigured a year and a half ago, they took out one workroom. There are stressful moments. Okay, where are we at? We're on item 14. Anything on Queen's Place? Councillor Fancy is not here. 15 reports. What happens under report?
That's the ERCMP stuff.
Okay.
When they come. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they always do it up front.
Yeah.
Item 16.1. And does this fall under recreation?
I said it would have been on there.
Yes and no.
Yep. Well,
recreation, economic development. We've got them both up there.
So. Yeah. Well, would one of you like to move it, and the other like to second it?
Sure. Want me to read the recommendation?
Please.
Okay. It is recommended the council, the region, the communities, and municipality approve the recommended framework included in this report to direct development of 2016-17 municipal budget and service delivery, and provide the following specific direction. The Region of Queen Municipality gives the Chief Administrative Officer the authority to temporarily suspend Policy 81 with respect to artists following art shows and other cultural displays for calendar year 2016 to achieve higher utilization on an ability to pay perspective. And, two, it is recommended the Region of Queen develop a terms of reference for a working group facilitated by the community developer with a mandate to collaborate and to achieve shared success by increasing utilization of the facility.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Norman.
Economic.
Okay, discussion. Richard, do you want to discuss? Leaders?
My two directors have a presentation.
Okay.
Yes, our CAO had asked Norm and I to present jointly on this paper. It's quite a long paper, so the idea was just to give a short presentation to make it a little easier to follow. It's really exciting that we now have the Town Hall as the Arts and Cultural Centre in Liverpool, and a potential benefit for the whole of the county, and so hopefully this framework is going to take us forward. So focusing initially on the economic opportunities, obviously there's a number of different dimensions that the Town Hall operates. It's a social facility, it's recreational, it attracts visitors to our shopping district, you know, it's a heritage building in itself. But in addition to that, there's substantial opportunities for economic development, especially with respect to the creative industries. And you remember when we did our attraction strategy, that was based on the creative economy, and that is a huge aspect of worldwide trade these days. In fact, there's some stats in the paper. Creative industries account for 3.4% of world trade, exports reaching $424.4 billion in 2005. Now, world trade in creative goods and services has increased at an unprecedented 8.7% from 2000 to 2005. So it's an ever-growing aspect of our economy that is often unrecognized, because a lot of these businesses are small businesses. They might be working out of their home, or they might just have an online presence. But when you combine it all together, according to the Conference Board of Canada, that whole sector accounts for 1.1 million jobs in Canada, which is more than agriculture, forestry, fishing, mining and utilities sectors all combined together. So it is a huge opportunity, and we have it in spades in our community. So I guess when the process of going through considering the renovations was happening, there were some stakeholder meetings that took place, and they demonstrated that there was support from the project in the community, and the expectation of that time was that we do the rebuild, redesign the space, and then the community would participate in the programming in that space. But since the completion, we found that we had a fee schedule designed in Policy 81, and we've realized that there's more capacity building needed in the community in order to get that utilization in place. And you know, working together with the arts and culture community to get it more fully utilized, more activity on Main Street, people coming and going, seeing activity, and then that spilling over into our retailers and accommodations and businesses around. So since July, or June I believe, when it reopened, there's been actually less than 10% utilization of the space in those upper floors, which you know, is kind of disappointing. But however, it's kind of given us a pause for reflection and decide to step back from that and say, okay, you know, this charging policy isn't working, so what can we do to address that situation? So we've come up with a recommended framework, and it involves collaboration and partnerships, everybody doing their bit. We would continue to do some programming in that space, as we have been. And you know, we'd look to the tenants we have there, like the Astor Theatre Society and Acadia First Nations, to work with us to make their spaces more active, have more stuff going on with them, and also looking at the cultural community, which we have, you know, things like the Queen's Arts Council, the Winds of Change, the, you know, lots of different events, the theatre festival, there's writers, there's musicians, there's everything out there that we can pull together and facilitate a process to build the capacity and the enthusiasm and the interest to really use that space to its full advantage. So the first recommendation dates back to when there was a consultation back in November with the Queen's Arts Council and the region, and approximately 25 people came, and a lot of ideas came out at that time. And what they were saying was that although, you know, there's the space is there and everything's in place, the fee schedule is the thing that is the real challenge for them. And we've got the sort of classic chicken and egg situation. You know, we want the facility to be vibrant and attract visitors and residents and customers to the downtown. But for that to happen, we need the artists there. But the artists aren't going to just have that leap of faith and be there and pay to be there in the hope that those people come in. So it's, you know, what comes first, that old scenario. So hence the recommendation, which has already been read out there, to temporarily suspend Policy 81 with respect to the artists and allowing art shows and other cultural displays for the calendar year of 2016 to achieve some higher space utilization on an ability to pay perspective. So it's not a permanent suspension, it's just seen as giving some time to work with all the different interest groups and build some capacity and bring together their ideas, which I'm sure they have many of, they're all creative people, and work with them to make that space more attractive. So I'll hand over to Norm, who's going to continue.
And I'll stay set sitting down because I'll be right in Councillor Norman's way and if you folks have any questions about our experience over the past 6 months or so with the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, please sing them out and I'll try my best to address them. Second recommendation gets to, as read by Councillor Frelick, that we set up a working group. And some of the stuff is primary avenues, supporting tenants, commitment to open dialogue and support. And this has taken place. And this took place in the developmental process. The mayor sat in on those meetings, and it took place in our meetings the 3rd of November, the 10th of December, with Councillor Mason from HRM, which was fabulous. And there's no lack of enthusiasm. for the space, it just hasn't translated into the usage that we want. So it becomes obvious to us that we need to talk a little bit more, develop more capacity, and we need some help to do so, because we're not by trade arts incubators as they did with the Khyber Arts Center in Halifax. So this is sort of what we're getting at. So the crux of it is we're suggesting a stakeholders working group consisting of our long-term tenants, the Astor Theatre Society, the Acadia First Nation, and interested arts group to work with us to develop this as an arts center, and commitment to progressive dialogue, seeking synergy, and evaluating opportunities for shared success. And as specified, it's as Councillor Freilich read, the point person for this is suggested to be our community developer. So, municipal programming, well, it's been interesting. We've tried to program it. Programming has evolved in a couple of, probably three distinct ways. Number one is people have self-identified. That has been the minority of folks. The Chamber of Commerce, a couple of financial planning groups who did retirement seminars self-identified, they booked the space. We as a department have gone out and offered mostly children's programming in the workshop room upstairs right, and those have met with, you know, good and bad results. And other ones, like our CEO initiated, where we went out and talked to the artists themselves, and the fabulous art show from the Taylors, which was just, you know, it just brought a whole bunch of people into the building, showcased the art of these young people, and it was just great. And it probably, the flip side of that is probably wouldn't have taken place if we'd levied the fee. So that's, you know, sort of what we're getting at. So we offer some programming, and there's ideas for much more. Discussions with our stakeholders, important that we continue to do so. Diverse programming for the community. And, the universal acclaim of the space has been, you know, what a great, people come in the building and say, this is fabulous, you know, what a great space it is. And it is an attraction in itself. And we're working on some, for lack of a better word, some informational signage about the Gorhams and the Big Tuna. Of course, the Big Tuna. Everybody wants to know where that big old tuna hanging on the wall came from. And other features in the building, such as a community bulletin board, all of which will help with the evolution of the space. Oh, Jill, I got to press the right button.
Well, may I ask a question?
You may, Mr. Mayor.
One of the things, and Councillor Freilich was the inspiration behind this, one of the things that we put in there was a community office. And one of the, at that time, Councillor Freilich was co-chair of Privateer Days.
Correct.
And could talk from personal experience how cumbersome it was not to have an office or have to rent one. I just wonder if we're looking at going to the Privateer Days group and other groups to make them aware of that office space.
We have. The Privateer Days group initiated discussions with us, and the lease, after hearing feedback on it and sort of awaiting council's decision a little bit today on fees and charges, that lease is on my desk and needs just a couple of edits, and we'll have our first tenant for the next year. Coincidentally with that, Richard talked with the LITF, the theater festival, and they would like to, sublease is a grandiose word for like 2 weeks or whatever they want to use it, but the short answer to your question, yes, that lease is being developed, and insofar as it's possible to do, we'd like to see other groups, if they need it on a short-term basis, like the theater festival this spring, to come in and use that space, and the Private 2 Days folks have said, you know, fine. So that is evolving as we speak. And to conclude, and thank goodness this presentation worked today, the framework presents a potential minor reduction in revenue with the suspension of Policy 81, as Jilly indicates, for a year. Usage, you know, it really is a negligible amount of money considering unfortunately we haven't got as much uptake as we hoped. Short-term usage, investing in that short-term usage will yield higher long-term rentals, and the fee schedule, once we return back to whatever the normal fee structure eventually becomes, that will develop that and that will grow. As mentioned, and there's more detail on page, the last page, page 21, about some of the exterior repairs necessary to the building, and Richard might have a little bit more on that if you have particular questions. Coincidentally, there will be some investment in the building for capital improvements, but overall, growing facility utilization and progressing towards a financially sustainable operation to nurture the creative industry in Queens will be the goal of the region and the stakeholders group with whom we are suggesting to work. And that's our presentation, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Fancy.
Yeah, Norm, I know when we look at Policy 81.
Mm-hmm.
That takes in the artists, the art shows, cultural displays, and things like that. I'm thinking more, and I don't think these people would be involved in, like the people who do musical lessons and things, like
yep.
your Philip Hardings, your Thomas Montes, and things like that. If they would look at it, maybe I only got three or four people that I have, that they wouldn't want to come over and rent over there because it's not worthwhile.
Yep.
Is that some groups that we could be looking at to try to expand upon, to try to get them to come in?
Tell them to give me a call. Basically, I'm looking with this as some discretion to look at those things and apply some logic to it.
Because if they're in a bigger display, they may be able to do more. They might be in a little room down here. They only have two or three people in.
Yeah.
That if they could do something over there, they could be into it. I talked to Thomas Monty once, and he said, I just don't know if it would be financially feasible for me.
Yeah.
If I only have two or three people doing.
And that's what we'd like to do is work. So, assuming that he's not charging his students too much, because if he's charging the students, the taxpayers shouldn't subsidize him. But if he's trying to build something and he's starting with a few and then it grows, the idea would be that we want to help you grow. So at some point you do contribute a little bit to the ongoing operation of that. So that's the sort of things that we're interested in enabling.
Councilor Fuller.
Norma, in the recommendation, it says ability to pay perspective. What exactly does that mean?
I'm going to have to defer to our,
I think exactly what he's referring to.
Yeah.
So I couldn't define a perfect definition towards this, but basically, like you said, if the artist is making money on it, selling, we should participate in that somehow, and the policy allows us to do that. However, if the artist is starting and getting some experience and exposure, and there's very little likelihood of revenue, we want to help them breathe across that. So that's the principle around ability to pay.
So, for example, when we had David, do a show there, some of his paintings are very high priced. How does that work? How do you?
So what we agreed, which was a slight modification of things, so we didn't charge him up front like the policy says, but if he sold at the show, he was going to give us a percentage.
Okay.
And
gentlemen's agreement.
Yeah.
Just one more question. The working group, and you said this would be directed by the community developer?
That's a suggestion, yes.
Okay. Yes. And that is Heather Cook?
Correct.
Okay. And I'm confused about that.
She's a professional community developer, and we're going to be doing different things like this, and has extensive experience with the facility, the subject matter. She'll excel at this.
Deputy Mayor Norman, and then Councilor McLeod.
In reference to developing the terms for the working group, and I heard Norm mention the Queens County Art Society and our staff, would we also reach out in our terms of reference to look for participation from perhaps business people that are involved in the art and culture side of things, perhaps people involved in the music industry side of things? I'm thinking of like the Lorns and the Kevin Pages of the world, mm-hmm. who may not be part of Queens County Art and Craft, but they're still involved in culture. And so look outside of just the Queens County Art and Craft Society, maybe they have one body, but then we also have people who perhaps have businesses that are craft or culture or, you know, I think of all the wonderful culture that the Queens County Museum now has in storage that we probably won't see anymore because of it's all privateer day focused. Or West Queens or North Queens, you know, with culture and things. So we get a diverse art and craft, you know, a diverse cultural look and not just, you know, art painting, but that whole cultural. And so perhaps something that can be considered when developing that term of reference for who sits on that committee.
I can't speak for Richard or for Jill, but the mayor will recall one of the things that was very helpful in involving Liz Brown was that she helped us focus on what a reasonable percentage of sales was. And that was something that, I don't know if it would have been a deal breaker, but that certainly helped us because we don't have that sort of experience. So my, again, not to speak for a CAO or Jill, but my first reaction to that is that might create a, bring an interesting additional perspective and a business, sort of a business sense to
definitely
to the group's work. Yeah.
Definitely. Councilor McLeod.
I'm thinking about our partnerships with other groups or organizations, and one comes to mind, and I know that with the creation of the Margaret Henniger Library in Bridgewater at the LCLC, it's opened up more opportunities for the library board to hold events, and that in addition to the reading aspects, they're also into artwork and displays, and actually demonstrations are being held, and I know that they do not have the full facilities here at some time to have a major event, but it could be a partnership at some point in the future, maybe holding a bigger event here in Queens through the Library Association, and maybe utilizing some rooms at the cultural at the town hall in order to do that. And we're looking also at, I organized for the last 7 years events a couple times a year through the auspices of the Chamber of Commerce, but I chaired the committee, and that's the Artisans Gift Gallery and Showcase of Local Artisans and Crafters. And I mentioned to them that they, you know, in the future that there could be smaller events held out throughout the year, not just major ones at Christmas time with Christmas on the Mersey. I've been invited to have a group of them come during the International Theater Festival, showcasing the wares and that sort of thing. So this opens up another opportunity on a smaller scale that if those rooms or spaces available, then maybe they could have a showcasing of some on a smaller scale, because you don't want to have a big hall and have a few participants. It looks overwhelming and not well attended. But if you have a smaller space, then it gives you a better feeling and it's got the atmosphere that they're really looking for. So this would be a really good opportunity for that sort of.
Yeah. I think the field is almost unlimited.
Yeah.
It's limited only by our imagination.
Absolutely.
Councillor Frohman?
The one thing that does limit us is every time we talk to individuals about participating and using upper rooms is accessibility. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking capital projects, that is a major, major issue for that building because we've talked to all of us are looking and talking to people, and to get people up the stairs, it's a challenge. So, and to get people in the building, to the front of the building, is a challenge. So, it needs to be not put in the back burner. It needs to be in the forefront.
There's been some work done in that regard, Richard, isn't there?
Yes. I mean, ultimately, the big thing is getting people to the second floor. So, there's yes, it's a challenge, and there's been some work done. We've installed some railings, and you know.
But the cost, I mean, I've seen a cost estimate for making the building, the whole building, user friendly to challenge people, and it's the cost is huge. Are you aware of a number?
Huge would be a good description. But
and when you say it's not just challenges as in wheelchairs, it's all the senior citizens just getting up the stairs.
Yeah, exactly.
So we need thought.
Having just had a birthday, I'm well aware of it, yes.
And I don't know how old you are now, but it's got to be up there.
Okay, so anything more on that? If not, thank you. Let's move on to item 16.2.
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous.
Nice work and nice presentation.
Thank you. Okay, 16.2, and we have a motion again. This will come from Deputy Mayor. Are you going to make this motion?
Yes, I'm looking for that. Here it is. It is
right on the front page.
Yep. It is recommended that Council approve the strategic priorities as outlined in Attachment B of this report. It's on page
22.
22.
Yeah, it's on the back page.
On page 25 and...
22.
Yeah, we did.
The recommendation.
Okay, 22 is the recommendation. Yes?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, Richard, do you want to lead us in prayer here, please?
Sure. I didn't think my presentation correctly. So, in September, Council approved a basic process to establish our municipal strategic priorities, with the intention to evolve and align our municipal effort with our 2009 vision and municipal planning strategy and adjust to Council's current priorities so we can align our resources, time, and money. By confirming those strategic priorities, staff were able to plan and measure performance, respecting achievement of priorities, enabling optimal focus on Council priorities in alignment with longer-term plans. It was to ensure that staff and Council will have aligned expectation, enable staff to report progress to Council, and it defines a key component of the accountability that I have to you. So other benefits of strategic planning include improved communication, improved morale, trust, cohesion, decision-making, and awareness. So the process that was approved is cyclical. It started with Council. All the decision points are deliberated by Council. The process started with a checkup of the 2009 vision, commenting on what worked and what needs work. After reviewing the vision, a survey was conducted to compile the strategic issues and reported to Council with what the strategic priorities were to be actioned now and which were next. So these priorities are included in annual budget and work planning process. So this is our first quarterly report to Council on progress and priorities and discussing the next steps. Attachment A, if you report, overviews the key accomplishments, progress, or completed in the past quarter. Municipality has made progress on all priorities of Council. Some of the significant accomplishments include the opening of the North Queens Business Hub, development of the municipal events framework, acquisition of the former Legion lands at Privateer Park, completion of sewer and water phase that brought services to the start of the Markland system, introduction of the Ripple Effect Volunteer Recognition Program, and delivery of a punch pass for the Queen's Place Amira Center. Attachment B overviews the recommended priorities for the next quarter. Summarily, the recommended priorities include progressing the recommended rural internet solutions scenarios into conceptual projects, presenting a recommended planning project scope for the Main Street waterfront project, developing a short-term recreation strategy, reviewing options with respect to the courthouse property, continuing to build capacity with the town hall stakeholders, completing a design for the Queens Skate Park project, and delivering advice to Council with respect to a community pool. So one project that has moved forward that has not been through Council in recent months is the recommendation to develop a short-term recreation strategy. Recreation opportunities was identified as the next priority during the consultation with Council and staff. In recent months, data with respect to use of Queen's Place Amira Center and other recreation offerings, such as summer pool usage, demonstrate a low level of utilization. Attachment C overviews a very preliminary project scope, which will return to Council for direction and include the recommended methodology. It's important to note that the scope consolidates the service delivery of Queen's Place Amira Center and Region of Queens Recreation Programming and examines the community and Council objectives.
Discussion. Deputy Mayor Norman?
I'd just like to say that I'm pleased with the way our strategies are being presented to us and the way that we've worked together to come up with them, how staff's been consulted, how they're very black and white and presented before us, and I think this is a great ways and a new way for people who attend and question how we do things that I think there's, because there's always room if an emergency comes in to put it in there. But when we're asked now, what's the region Queens doing, we've got to, it's clear. And so that whole question for years about strategic planning and whatever has been met. So thank you, Richard, for finding a way to make this happen.
Council Product, then Council Ingalls.
I just want to echo Darlene what you're saying. It's great to be able to have this in front of us and be able to read it. Just a couple comments. Under Queens and Merritt Place, we're looking at concert development, and I really would like to see that as an event development, because there's many other options other than just concerts. There's trade shows, there's lots of things happening that's potential. So if we just focus on one, and I know that we are not just focusing on one, but it'd be nice to see that. Also in here, I don't see anything with the Trestle Trail Bridge as part of our focus, and that's been brought back to council, and it's been agreed upon that that would be a focus. So I don't see it in here. So I'm wondering where that stands.
So the last direction from the Trestle Trail Bridge was we had brought a report, I can't remember which month, I think it was November. We had direction to go out and look for money. It was the next step directed by council. We've approached a number of, we don't have any money yet. So I think that's still the next step with regards to the Trestle Trail.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was, we were looking for options, not particularly money, we were looking for other options. So I think it's a discussion that we need to have again soon. So. But certainly a great report and appreciate it.
Councilor Inglis.
My thoughts aren't terribly far from either of these two. I've wasted a lot of days throwing out ideas for flip charts in my life, and I'm really happy with the outcome of this one because it's not wasted at all. We threw, and for the benefit of the gallery, we threw hundreds and hundreds of things on flip charts, and I think that, and I don't know who gets credit here, the mayor must have done all this.
All credit to him.
The CAO did a very good job.
Let's just say that it takes a redhead to come through with this.
Sure, do you know that actually today is, and this is off topic, but we should recognize that today is International Kiss a Ginger Day.
Hey!
We're not making that up, that's true. Yeah, it is.
Control yourselves.
So, you know, this, and of course, you know, we have all these things we take input on and then we don't do anything with them, so this narrowing down to a list of less than 10 clear things that, as Darlene said, you can identify it to the public, and then you can measure yourself on what you're doing with them. So it was good work by the CAO to do it.
Yep. Good work. Are you ready for the question on the motion? All in favor? It's Oi. Unanimous, and thank you. So that takes us to 16.3. And this should be corporate services. Councilor Fisk.
I can recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipalities refer the RCMP budget increase notification to an ad hoc committee of council. Be recommended by the nominating committee with direction to explaining the expenditure service level, monthly report, agreement, and contracts, and further report back to council with findings and recommendations.
Is there a seconder for that motion, Councilor Inglis? Discussion. It's the, help me, Richard. My understanding is that with the exception of the payment for the education tax, our payment to the RCMP for policing services is the single highest line item on the expenditures at $2 million a year. And that we haven't really examined policing services for a few years, so it's time that we do.
I think it's an excellent idea that we're going to do this. I'm very supportive of the motion. I think we have to remember that the taxpayer of Queens is a customer of the RCMP, so we should really be defining some of the ways that we want to see policing. My question is, well, we would refer this to the nominating committee, And do we have a concept of how many members and of whom it would comprise? Is it public and council and staff, or?
It was my assumption that it would be a council to look at, staff would work at it, and you know, in terms of reference, we'd have you know, the meetings and come back to council, but it would be councilors,
okay.
A council committee.
I would think certainly it would be something that council, that committee would want to gain public input, not necessarily on that ad hoc committee, but to get some feedback from the community on
so
things.
The, excuse me just a second, the meeting, the nominating committee meeting will be held before the next council meeting in my office. but so let's get your names, anybody who's interested in serving on that committee in particular, get your names into me so that we know as we go forward. And I mean, if everybody wants to be on it, then we'll have a committee of eight. I mean, it's, we'll see how we go. And so, yeah, I forget who was first. Thank you, Darlene.
I guess I differ on the opinion of who should be on that ad hoc committee. And I would think that someone, maybe a Crown Prosecutor representative or somebody who knows, you know, who deals more closely with, I mean, I understand we can't put an RCMP officer on it, but someone who's more familiar, be it someone from social, you know, I don't know, but someone, sometimes ad hoc committees, they're just us, and then we make the decision, and in an instance like this, RCMP services and someone from that legal side of it somewheres, I don't know how you choose one of them, but it'd be at the Crown Prosecutor Office or somebody from that other world who knows more about it than we know. I mean, we know what it costs, the dollars and cents. Mm-hmm. They actually see it and read it and deal with it daily. And nobody in this building does that. So I would like that we would perhaps involve some balance from the people that actually deal with RCMP and can sort of spell us off if we say, oh, we got to get rid of two, or we're going to have five more, or it's a little bit more professional input in it.
How was it done in the past?
I think it's been so long ago, I don't know if anybody knows. Do you know, Danny?
I was never part of it.
Why don't you continue to think about it?
No.
Give the nominating committee some flexibility with the recommendation it comes back with, because we can kick it around. I've got a couple of thoughts of people that Darlene has just sort of got my wheels turning on, and whether you bring these individuals in as
resource
or whether
advisors.
You put them on the committee, we should talk about in, you know, when we can beat some names around and so on. So give this committee, the nominating committee, as much flexibility as it needs to come back with a recommendation at the next council meeting.
Yeah.
Councilor Waterman.
Is this just the RCMP, or is this our bylaw piece involved?
Just
the RCMP.
My question was, you know, when Jennifer told me the increase, and you know, I asked a little bit about it. We quickly concluded it's time to take a look at
our,
it. Just the
our policing was involved in this budget line.
Yeah.
Not in the
town.
Yeah.
Frontier
Justice.
And I mean, the province has cut their raises out this next few years. Apparently the federal government hasn't.
You should be chair of the committee, I can tell that. I guess Councilor Fancy.
Now, with the closing of the courthouse, is that going to have an effect on things?
That's something that has to be considered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Certainly, if I might, on that note, I do remember when we were fighting to save the prosecution services, the RCMP often wanted to rent cars to drive to Bridgewater to deal with policing
that's
matters.
Exactly.
So certainly that's going to affect us in a couple ways. It's going to take boots off our street for an extra hour every time they've got to deal with Fort, and it's going to cost us the transportation costs.
Yes.
Okay, are you ready for the vote on the question on the motion?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. And I'd ask you to set up that meeting, allow at least half an hour before the next company meeting. The next item I put on the agenda, 16-4, it's a note to me from Cliff Drysdale. As a result of Deputy Mayor Norman's resignation from the Southwest Nova Secretaryship, have I got the right
name? No, Southwest Nova Biosphere Reserve Association.
Secretaryship.
No.
Oh, you're not. Okay. So, would someone like to be on that committee? Is there, that's why I put it on the agenda.
Could I comment on that? When the Southwest Nova Biosphere Reserve Association made their bylaws, I don't know if they consulted with municipal units or not, but within their bylaws, one director must represent each county within the Biosphere Reserve. So we are the only county in the Biosphere Reserve that only has one municipal government. Shelburne has the ability to go to those municipal units. So that's why, you know, and without a representative from Queens, then they're not matching up with their responsibilities, you know, they're not meeting their bylaws. And while I enjoyed my time because I've entered full-time employment, and today's my day off, you know, I'm day off 6 days, and here's where I am, I do not have the ability to take another day off and attend, you know, all-day board meetings, which could be in, you know, it is a responsibility for those who commit, and I do know from the past that some of those other counselors from those other bodies aren't there, and there's a lot of work to do, so it's important that someone, and help me if I can, I'm not sure that it has to be an elected person. It does not state elected person within their bylaws. It simply states a representative from a municipal unit. So therefore, and I know we have a thing about putting staff on outside committees, and I know, you know, I assume the role of secretary on that board, and, you know, it's work. However, if we want to support Southwest Nova Biosphere Reserve, and it is an important designation to keep, it's UNESCO or world-recognized designation, we do need a representative, one way or the other, staff or elected. If we want to support them, then we have to put a representative on that board.
Just Chris Frank.
Darlene, just to further that, they've done a lot of work. I'm the actual replacement for you, should you step down. But I see scads of emails, and I know that's a really active group, and a lot of work has gone into it. Are they at the point where they have kind of leveled out, or is it...
It will never level out.
There's always going to be
a huge thing. It covers such a huge territory.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem is it started... Peter was one of the original representatives for the region, and it started, and it was like this much money, mm-hmm. and it began basically from a group within Caledonia who were afraid of cutting near Kedgee and this and that and everything else. So this UNESCO thing started with the core in Kedgee and everything else becoming, which is a good plan. I mean, Southwest Nova is very different from the rest of the province in terms of our natural features and our culture. We're very, it makes sense. What doesn't make sense is it's so difficult to get everybody together. So the work will never, and, you know, and then the feds came up with funding monies for biosphere reserves. So suddenly there was a big pot of money and could hire an executive director, and then they threw that out the window, the feds did. So now it's back to volunteers managing a very big, you know, and I look at, you know, it's just so difficult. If all of the units were in a location that, you know, our meetings could be go sit at electronic window and have a meeting electronically, then things would work. But it's
a full day every time.
It's a day, and then it's the work expectation. You know, you're expected to do things. There's a very active science committee that's looking at doing, you know, large science conferences. There's the app stuff that still continues. You know, there's a lot of work, and it's all volunteer driven. I know they're still seeking funds for for a staff, but it's a challenge. But the good thing is Caledonia is being looked at as the hub for where the staffer would be, correct, David?
Yeah.
That's still the key point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a big travel, but, you know, but still needing travel.
Okay, so are any of you interested in serving? I don't feel any pressure. If not, we'll take back the nominating committee. We will look at, we would suggest the nominating committee look at a non-elected person, and there may be some in the community that we can think of. Okay,
now,
that's the only reason I put it on the agenda.
Yeah, I wonder, though, if it can be, according to the bylaws, I guess it could be someone from the community. It doesn't have to be...
We'll clarify that.
Yeah, but he sits on it in a different position. There's all these slots.
Position A.
Yeah.
Okay, any more on this subject? If not, that concludes, unless I have screwed up. No, I haven't. That concludes the open session of the agenda. Yes, Councillor Fancy.
I just wanted to mention that I was in the washroom. I'd like to go on record there that February 12th, Dobson and Harding are over to the Queen's Place Mirror Center, and they're about 25% sold already.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great. Okay, thank you. I'd entertain a motion to go in camera. Councillor Fisk, Councillor Frelick, all in favour? It's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. If you fellows want to talk to me, come over. We'll resume in camera in 10 minutes' time. Councillor Fisk has moved it. Councillor Waterman has seconded it.
All right.
Thank you.
All in favour of coming out of camera? That's done.
Keep a close eye on it.
The 17.3 has a recommendation, and I assume that should come from planning. Susan?
Or from Raymond.
Where is the recommendation? Right on the front page, 17.3. Oh, that one.
Yep. About the photographs.
Sorry. I recommend that the staff respond to the expression of interest to acquire the former Millville School by requesting that on or before March 31st, 2016, the community group 1 formalize the establishment of their not-for-profit organizational status, and 2, submit a formal offer of purchase of the former Mill Village School from which the region can prepare an agreement of purchase and sale.
Seconded by Councillor Fisk, who's the councillor for the district. Any further discussion, or are you happy with the discussion we've had?
Yeah.
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, and thank you on that one. 17.5 goes to the Director of Finance, Bruce.
Yes, in my capacity of Director of Finance, I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the job description for a manager, finance, and information systems.
Seconder?
For manager.
Councillor Frelick, thank you. Discussion?
Manager.
Have you had enough discussion, or are you ready to vote on it? All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Now, the group has confidence in my motions.
I know that.
Now,
we are adjourned, but Darlene needs...